We're in Jeremiah chapter 33 this morning. If you'd like to turn there, the ushers are going to walk down the aisle for just a moment with Bibles in hand. You might have a Bible to study with us. Please raise your hand. They'd count it a privilege to give you one. And if you need a Bible to keep, it's yours. There's no charge for it, of course. And for all of us, we're in Jeremiah chapter 33. I really encourage you. There's so much going on. This last week, our mission fellowship got together, and it's starting to get rolling. And if you'd like to be a part of that, check it out. There's a notice in the bulletin about that. But there's something for everybody. And so I encourage you to jump on board. God's working. God's going places. God's doing things. And I encourage you, jump on board. Like I said, you will be blessed and you'll be a blessing. And if you want your life to count for something, give it to Him. You watch what He does. Watch what He does. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." The people of Judah were facing some rough things because they had long ago chosen to go their own way, chosen to rebel from God, would not have Him to rule over them, but thought they knew better. They had for a long, long time been sowing the seeds of their own destruction. And right now, they're right on the point of harvesting that. They're right about to go into captivity to the Babylonians. There are people facing a rough time because they had turned their back on God. Jeremiah himself at this point is in prison because he had dared to proclaim that truth, that they would fall to the Babylonians. And the king didn't want to hear that. So he threw Jeremiah in prison. But in the midst of all the trials and circumstances, there comes an invitation. But not just to them, of course, because what's true for them is true for us, meaning their God is our God. And the invitation is true for us also. What does it say? God says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." God desires us to call upon Him. It's an invitation to have fellowship with God, to commune with God, to cast your cares upon Him and experience His work in your life, to have Him show you great and mighty things which you do not know. "Call upon me," He says, "and I will answer you." Last week, here in our morning time together, we established through Scripture that God has, is, and will speak to us. And hopefully you know that. You know that He wants to do that. And so you hear this morning that you might hear from Him. You see, the question here really isn't, is God speaking? Yes, He is speaking. But as we saw last week, and what we want to kind of focus in on this morning, the real question is, are we listening? This morning we're going to consider, and I pray that it'll be more than just kind of a head consideration, but a heart consideration of this whole awesome privilege we have of hearing from God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love so freely poured out upon us. Thank You that You love us just as we are. Thank You that we can know that there's things You want to do, things You want to show us. You have hope and healing and all for us even this morning. Lord, in particular, Lord, we're focusing on hearing You. Through it all, Lord, the awesome thing is that we can. That You, the one true living God, the one who does indeed do great and mighty things, You want to personally be involved in our lives. You personally care about us, and You personally want to speak to us. Help us now to hear You, Lord. Help us to receive. Help us to, in our hearts, be very open to what You'd want to do even now. So, Lord, here we are. Have Your way, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is not an attempt to cover the entire subject of hearing from God. Many people have written many books on it, and we can't exhaust the subject. And this is not a time that's here to give us some, you know, pat answers. Well, just do A, B, C, and you'll hear from God and everything all the time perfectly. But instead, I want our time this morning to simply be part of our growth in learning to hear God. I'd like this time this morning to be a time where we just consider some things that get in the way of hearing God and some things that will help us move forward in hearing Him. So first of all, this morning, as our verse indicates, know this. God does indeed speak to each of us. He wants to speak to us. Our verse says, call to me and I will answer you. Hopefully you believe that. That you understand that. That God is not trying to trick us. He's not saying, call to me and I'll answer you. And they're like, watch this. I won't. I won't really answer them. I'm going to put the bait out there, but I'll always keep it a little bit further. They'll never get to it. No, He wants to speak to us. He's not trying to trick us. He wants to commune with us. He sent His Son to die. That we might come into fellowship with Him. That we might commune with Him. Two-way street. But the reality is, though He wants to speak and is speaking and wants us to hear from Him, there are some things that will help that whole process and there are some things that will hinder it. As a pastor, many people come to me and say, I'm having trouble hearing God or I can't seem to hear Him in this and all. So it's just an attempt to kind of collectively talk about what hinders and what helps this whole process of hearing from God. So we got to begin at the beginning, and I want to begin at this point. It might seem obvious, and yet indeed, for some people, I think this is where they might be at, and important to know this. Again, it might seem obvious, but first of all, please know, sin blocks hearing from God. It just does. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Sin plugs up the pipeline between us and God. Too often people think they can just do their own thing, go their own way, rebel against God, disobey God, just say, God, give me the steering wheel, and yet feel like they can have communion with God. But it doesn't work that way. God can't wink at our sin. He knows it's a cancer that will eat us up if He leaves it alone. And it is indeed a cork in the pipeline between us and God. It just is. It's interesting how often I speak to people who are actively disobeying God but expect to have communion with Him. And I'm not speaking about blatant sin in terms of like murdering somebody or something. Although there are those who are in some pretty blatant stuff and still think they can have communion with God. There might be, indeed, somebody, and this will happen, as you know, in ministry. People come because of the culture we live in and things we kind of get drawn into or duped into. For example, I'll have people come and they're living together. They're not married, but a man and woman will be living together, sleeping together and all, and yet they're not married together. And so you'll begin to address that with them. And they'll say, oh, well, yeah, we know God doesn't like this, but we're praying about it. We're seeking to see what He would tell us about it. Well, let me explain something. There's two things wrong with that. You don't have to ask Him about that. He's already answered you. He's already spoken about that one. And the answer is no. That He has better for you. But another component in that is this. Since that very activity plugs up the pipeline, you say, well, I'm praying to God about it. How would you ever hear Him? How would you? You're not going to be able to hear Him give you His answer about it. Because the very act goofs up. It gums up the works, so to speak. Well, again, maybe that's more of a blatant sin, so to speak. But, you know, for you, Christian, for all of us still, there's things that plug up the pipeline. Again, you haven't murdered anybody all week, and you haven't robbed a bank, and so you're thinking, well, what are you talking about? You know, there's that person who has resentment towards their mate. That person who has unforgiveness towards a friend. There's that person who has bitterness of soul over some event of their life. And their spiritual life is dried up. They seem to never hear from God. And they wonder why. because that is sin. Bitterness and unforgiveness, jealousy, pride, covetousness, prejudice, those are sins. And they will plug up the pipeline for someone who would otherwise be an active, strong believer. But we kind of hang on to those things and think, well, yeah, but, and we have an excuse that they hadn't, and who can blame me and all. And we don't understand, it's ripping us off. And really, all those things are just examples. The point is, sin plugs up the pipeline. And so, first things first, if that might be you, that's not the only reason sometimes we might have trouble hearing from God, but that is the first thing we need to address. It's oftentimes a problem. He wants to hear from you, but he wants to hear about that issue. He wants to get that straightened out. If that's the problem, begin there. Come out of that sin. Repent of it. Repent means turn around, go the other way. Let go of that attitude, whatever it might be. That the line might be open with him again. And you know what I find out, and I suspect you have too, and that is if there's something like that in our life, if there's some unforgiveness or anything, what you're going to find is God tends to bring you back to that a lot. Yeah, you admit you got it, and you want to get better about it. You're trying to work on it. Lord, I realize I need to work on that, Lord. But meanwhile, Lord, I was kind of wondering if you could lead me over here, if you could answer this or show me that. And don't be surprised if he goes, well, no, I want to go back to that. Oh, no, Lord, I know I need to forgive that person. Meanwhile, Lord, I was kind of wanting to make a career decision here, and I want to know what job. And he goes, I want to talk to you about the other. Oh, no, Lord, I know. But can we talk about the job? And he goes, no. I want to talk about the forgiveness. I want to talk about the bitterness. And he'll tend to keep you right there because he's saying, because I love you so much, so I can't overlook that. We've got to deal with it. And so let him. It's not worth hanging on to it. Let him forgive it and heal it. Get it out of the way. Well, another problem in this whole thing of hearing from God might be this. I don't think that we're always tuned in to him. I think, indeed, I know, there's a lot of competition for our attention today. We live in a very fast-paced time, and we're all so busy. And it almost seems like if we get any spare time, we're driven to fill that time. And for all of our modern conveniences and everything else, what I continually hear from people is how busy they are, not enough time to get everything done, how stressed out they are, just wish I could have some relaxation and all. You hear it time and again. Well, I would suggest that as part of that whole rushing around, it creates, for lack of a better word, it creates static on the line. We live in a time where basically I think we just kind of hum, you know, just all the time because of how busy and stressed out we are. You see, we all realize that, well, let's put it this way. Right now in this room, there are all kinds of sounds going on. There is music of every sort right now going on in this room. Right now you're going, he's lost it. Oh great, I'm at a church where the pastor hears music when there's none going on. Not only that, but there's all kinds of television programs going on right now in this room. John Wayne is chasing that stagecoach right now. Right here in this room. Not only that, there's phone conversations taking place, aren't there? Right now. Right through this room. We all understand that principle. Because the only thing really lacking from really experiencing those is what? A receiver built to pick up on those things. If we were able to have if I had like a radio right here, and these walls were to block the signal, you need to cut me that slack. But let's say the things are getting through the block walls around here. All I need is a radio tuner, and sure enough, I can turn it in. I tune it in right there. All of a sudden, there's music playing. See, they're here. We just need a receiver tuned into it. Get a television in here with a good enough reception, and bingo, there's John Wayne right there. Turn that cell phone back on that we ask you to turn off. And just sure enough, we might experience you talking to somebody right now. In here, right now. Simply by the addition of a proper receiver. Well, I think you know where I'm going with this. You see, it's much the same way in the spiritual realm. A person can learn to tune in to God. God wants to, indeed, for every believer, has given us the means that we might receive what he's saying to us. We might hear him. But we're too busy. We're just so busy. And there's all these competing things for our attention. Yet we wonder why we get to the end of our day going, God, I wish I could have heard from God and all. He was there. He was speaking. And so I'm just saying, it'd benefit us greatly if we would slow down and tune our hearts to his. Another thing I think that gets in the way of this whole thing is, I think sometimes we don't hear God speaking to us because when he does, he finds in us a people very quick to debate him rather than obey him. I know for me, I found that in my life, I can remember some things I had to resolve way back, but still very important. See, God isn't speaking to us that for us to simply consider whether he warrants obeying. And if we are in that attitude always of when he speaks to us right away, ready to tell him, well, no, God, let me tell you, I got a better plan here, then you're going to find it hard to hear God. Settle the issue of your trust and obedience and watch how you begin to hear God speak to you. James 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One foot in the Lord, one in the world. So sure he knows better. You know, we're so quick to argue with God and debate with God instead of just obey him. Indeed, I suspect that a lot of our prayers really are informing God of what he needs to do. And when he comes back with something other than that, he finds in us those who correct him. Well, no, really, God, this is the best way. Just go with this. And we miss out. Don't argue with him. Just do it. Just obey him and watch how he speaks to you. I remember in my own life years ago wrestling with that and getting to that place, Lord, I wanted to hear him. I wanted to hear him, and I wanted to hear him more. And I wanted him to be able to speak to me without me debating him and wondering what I'm going to do with what he tells me. And so I really, this was quite a while back, but I remember really wrestling through it for a period of time and saying, Lord, really, I want to be someone that when you speak, I'll say, okay, here I am. Let's go for it. And so I wrestled it out, and I remember I got to a point where I really believe that I meant it. And so I prayed that prayer, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. And he showed me. And right away I went, oh, no. Oh, no. Because it wasn't something that the flesh would enjoy. It wasn't something that was going to be fun. I don't need to get specifics, but it meant doing a couple of things. And I went and did them, of course, because I settled that issue before he showed me. But afterwards, it produced a joy. It produced a closeness. It was like kind of a move forward in settling the issue. God, I don't want me to get in the way of what you want to do. And I want to be one that says, okay, great. You say it, let's do it. And what a joy. What a joy. Not that there necessarily was fruit from the actual thing I went and did right away, but there was fruit in my life. Hey, that's cool. Lord, we've kind of moved forward in settling this issue. Settle that issue that you're not going to argue with him, but you're going to obey him. Another hindrance to this process of hearing him, unfortunately, is that sometimes when he speaks, we don't act on it. I just mentioned obeying, so it's kind of an extension of that. You see, we're afraid sometimes, I think, or we don't really trust him that he has our best interest at heart. God comes along and he speaks and he gives you something, or he gives you a gift to operate in, or something that he wants to work in you and through you with, and he nudges you and he says, come on, let's go for it. Use me, Lord, or show me, or what direction should I take? And he gives us that next step, but we hesitate. We don't do it. If you've ever been there where you know he spoke to you and didn't do it, you probably remember how bad you felt later on. Like, oh, man, because we do miss out. But there's that sense of when God does answer or speak to us, we start kind of, oh, what will people think? You know, and What if it really isn't him and all? I just wonder how much God might want to do through us if we would just be a more go-for-it people. One of the first times that God used me in this way that I remember was a time when he placed something very strong in my heart. I'd spent some time with him in the morning, and I really strongly in this day felt like he was telling me something very specific. Yet it didn't seem to fit anything right then in my life, or you know, it wasn't an answer to something I'd been praying about right then, but I just strongly felt this thing, this impression that he was giving me. And I thought, well, whatever. So I just kind of filed it away. And I went through my day and went on into the night, and you know, it was kind of on the back burner there. And we were at an event in which some people were coming to get prayer, and there were some people hanging around and all. And so we were active kind of in that, you know, that environment there, and kind of ministering to people and all. And we were still pretty new at this whole thing, though. But that was going on. And then in the midst of it, all of a sudden, I strongly sensed the Lord saying, you remember that thing I showed you this morning? Yeah. I kind of rehearsed it in my mind. Yeah. So I made sure I had it straight. And so I went over to my mind. Then I strongly felt him saying, see that guy over there? Yeah, yeah. Put the two together. Go tell him what I told you. Oh, man. I don't know that guy, Lord. He's going to think I'm really weird. What if he yells at me or... You know, I mean, this could go really bad. Go tell him. Okay? So I went over and I said, you know, I introduced myself, and I feel like the Lord's telling me to share this with you. Now, I know maybe if you're sitting here right now and you've never been a part of that, you think like, this is weird. But it wasn't. It was a stretcher, but there was such a, well, as it turned out, it was exactly what the guy needed to hear. And it was such a blessing to him and to me. To walk away going, whoa. Why we don't do that always? Why we're not more open to that, I don't know. But if we're not, again, we're missing out. See, the key in all that, the key to that is, are you available? Now, since then, God has in counseling situations and different things done that kind of thing where the Lord will say this. You're kind of, what? Okay. But he's looking, all he wants is availability because he wants to do something. It's not about us. God is doing things, and he wants us to be a part of it. So settle this issue of your availability and see if he doesn't speak to you. Now, if I were to go around the room, I'm not going to, but if I were to right now ask you, okay, everybody here who's had a time in which they could say, yes, God has spoken to me. Now, maybe audibly, maybe he did, that's great, but still you knew he had spoken to you. He put something strongly on your heart. It's by his spirit, through his word or something, he answered a prayer, he spoke to you in some way. You knew it. If I went around and said, how many here have had that kind of experience where, yes, they knew that God had spoken to their heart, maybe reassured them or calmed the fear or whatever it was, that you knew God had spoken to you, I suspect a lot of hands would go up. Then if I said to you, explain that process, I think a lot of hands would go down. Real quick. Because how do you in the end explain that? If you haven't had that, I realize this morning you're going, this is weird. God really talking? Well, and yet once you're into it, it's not a big weird thing at all. It can become a very normal, natural thing. Yes, we go through ebb and flow of it, and yes, there's things that get in the way, and we're growing and learning, but it's not... It's supernatural because it's of God, but it's not weird. It's what he designed us to experience. And while sometimes I can't explain it, sometimes how he speaks or how we know it's him, we just do. Because he just does. The key is tuning in, just being available, taking that time and letting him, believing him, not arguing with him. All these things we've talked about. Often we have our plans. And truth be told, when we go to God, we just want him to endorse our plans. So often we go to God, it's kind of like we take our construction plans down to the building department. Our great hope is that they'll just rubber stamp our plans. We don't want them to tell us, you can't do that and that and that. Rubber stamp those plans. And we go to God, and so often that's really what our prayers are. Lord, here's the best plan. Would you just go ahead and endorse it? Because I got to get going now. But I'd like your power behind this. I kind of want you on board my plan, so I'm praying about it, Lord. But we really don't want God to change our plan. Well, no, don't change it. I like what I got going here, Lord. I just want you to get behind it. See, we're not really seeking His will. Truth be told, so often our prayer really is, my will be done, not yours. And that's reversed. Because what if God has better for you than you have for yourself? What if you somehow could really come to see that your plans for yourself are far short of His? Because, see, that's the truth. But we don't really believe that, and so we want our will to be done. And He's saying, you're going to miss out. I got better for you. How often do we come hungry? How often do we really want to know and do His will, whatever it might be? If you would hear from God, deny yourself. Jesus said, hang on to your life and you'll lose it, but lose your life for Him and you'll find it. Deny yourself. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, by which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to hear from God? Do you want to know what His will for you is? Then deny yourself. Submit yourself as a living sacrifice, saying, God, take over. Your will be done. And in the doing of that, you'll begin to hear and experience His will for your life. It's just part of the process. Now, most of us would agree that a main way God speaks to us is through His Word. And yet it's an interesting thing. We have needs. We go to Him. We pray. We want to hear from Him. That's over here. We believe God speaks to us through His Word. We believe this is His Word, infallible, God-breathed. It's not just a book, but God gave it. And we have that right here. It's interesting how seldom sometimes the two get together. I got these needs, Lord. I want to know what You're telling me. And He's going, well, right here. Oh, I know, Lord. But Lord, if You just show me and lead me, right here. I know, Lord. But just show me. And there we sit. Or so often He'd say, I've spoken. I've got that peace. I've got that hope. I've got a will. I've got a direction. Now, yes, He speaks specifically. Sometimes we want to hear that. But so often His answers are there. He's telling me how to handle that situation. He's telling me where I can have a peace in the midst of the storm. It's His Word, and we need to bring it to bear upon our circumstances. We're often so busy asking, and He'd say, I've already given the answer. I've spoken on that. Think if I asked you something and you told me the answer. Maybe you wrote me a letter with the answer and I kept calling you. When are you going to answer me? I gave you the letter. Called you tomorrow. I need to know what you're going to say on this. I need your answer. I've already done it. Read the letter. Call you tomorrow. Why don't you speak to me? I need to know what you're saying. You'd say, look. Read what I've given you. Bring the two together. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The Lord would say, read it and obey it, and you'll discover a lot about my will for your life. So God speaks through His Word to us. Our great need, of course, is to know it and adjust our lives to it. How much do you value the Word, really? When you read it, do you really view this as God speaking? See, we say it's God's Word. When we read it, do we really come saying, God is speaking to me right now in His Word? This is God speaking to my needs, my heart. The one who comes like that will go away satisfied. Take time. Read it. Pray over it. Meditate on it. Soak in it. Plus, you know what else is awesome about knowing His Word in terms of hearing His voice? Knowing God's Word. See, God in His Word reveals Himself. He reveals His character, His nature. Well, why is that important in terms of hearing God? Because knowing God's nature and character will help you identify it's Him when He's speaking. See what I mean? Let's say I told you that I've been praying to the Lord and spending time with Him, and I feel like He's been telling me lately that He really hates me, that He's down on me, He doesn't want me to spend eternity with him, that he condemns me. Well, hopefully you'll be able to say to me, you know what, Dale, I can tell you right now, that wasn't God. Well, how do you know that wasn't God? Because that's contrary to how he's revealed himself to be. That's contrary to his revealed nature and will. So if I were to think God was saying to me something like, he condemns me, but his word says there is therefore now no condemnation to me, I can know, nope, that's not God speaking. See, the word helps me know him, helps me identify him when he's speaking. Because it reveals his character. It helps me get to know him. The importance of the word in hearing God. And of course, God speaks through prayer. Prayer is a vital part of prayer isn't a religious exercise. It's part of a relationship with the Lord. It's talking to God and him talking to us. A guy named Henry Blackaby, he wrote a little workbook called Experiencing God. But in there he says this, our problem is that we pray and then we never relate anything that happens to our praying. End quote. But so true. We pray, but then after we say amen, we go through our day and we never relate the events to what we ask. What we sought, what we prayed about. Instead, when it happens, we say things like, oh, what a coincidence, or how lucky I am, or gee, how fortunate that went that way, or Lord, I want you to use me, and I want to be a blessing today, and I kind of want to go beyond just the things of my day, Lord. Would you set somebody before me that maybe I could just be sensitive to or help or encourage or something? So we say, amen, you're going shopping, all of a sudden here's somebody I haven't seen for a month. What a coincidence. And then later we go, God, you never answer my prayers. You never speak to me. He's going, ahem. See, we don't relate the prayer to the answer, but God is speaking. You know, truth be told, I think we all know God speaks to us more than we. I think we're so busy just, sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we're just so busy. It's a lot of things get in the way, but it doesn't have to be that. God speaking. If we just listen, I think we'd know it. I think so often, if we just connect with what he's saying. But I would like to add this. Beware of this part of hearing God when he's speaking to you. Beware of hearing God when it lines up with something you really, really want. Time and again, I see it. We can all fall prey to this one. You're single. You've met this special someone. Oh, he or she is everything. How could this not be the one? We hit it off. So much in common. So you pray, Lord, is this the one? He said yes! How great! Be very careful. Lord, I really need a car. And matter of fact, if I could get that car there, that would be real. Lord, I really like that car. I'd really like that SUV. I know it'll stretch our budget a lot, and I'm not sure I can afford it, but I really would like it. What do you say, Lord? I can? All right! Be careful of hearing God when it lines up with what, because our flesh is strong. Our desires are strong. And sure enough, time and again, people come to me and tell me how they wanted something and prayed, God said yes. Well, I would encourage, maybe saying yes, but when we got a lot of us in it, we really don't know. Go very slow. Check it out in the Word. Get godly counsel from impartial places. And make sure even that counsel lines up. You know, you can shop things around until you find somebody who says what you want to hear. And I mean, even amongst pastors and ministries, you always find somebody that'll endorse anything. So even then, but make sure that it's godly, biblical counsel, and look to the Word, and take your time on it. Be careful. God will never give you something that's contrary to his Word, that contradicts his Word. He's not going to say, well, I know that I've told others, but you can do that. A key thing in all this, and I mentioned the last time, I just want to hit on again just quickly, and that is this. In all of this, I think something that's really lacking today for a lot of people, a lot of believers, a lot of followers of Christ, is it's just a sensitivity to and an openness to the Holy Spirit. God takes up residence in every believer. That stuns me. It always does. God, you are in there. You live in there. You say you want to. Oh, great. So God takes up residence inside of us. And now says, let me drive. Let me lead. Let me encourage. Let me give you wisdom beyond your own. All those things that he's about. So here's a believer that now has God inside and yet too often lives as if he's not. Going through our days the same old way. Thinking we know best. Setting our agendas, hanging on to the steering wheel, and missing out. Missing out on the wisdom he wanted to give, or the joy in that, or just being used by him, or just whatever it might be. It's a sad thing for a believer who doesn't live with that. But good news, it's something we can develop. We can develop and grow in this whole awareness of and discernment towards open the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. If you will just tune your heart. If you'll just be available, if you've talked about it. If you hunger, you'll begin to hear. And you'll say, why did I ever want to steer on my own? Now that I got God driving this the car of my life. Well, all this leads to this. See, an important thing in all of this idea of the sorting out of hearing God and how he speaks to us and all of this thing of hearing God. See, hearing God is just part of knowing God. Hearing God is just part of our growing in our relationship with him. If you focus right now on the how you hear too much, you'll miss what I'm saying. And it'll be gum up things. If you sit there and go, okay, how is he forming that word? And how are those sound waves traveling over to me? And how are they striking my eardrum? And how does that turn into an impulse that gets in my brain? And I interpret it as a word. And we get into all that. And meanwhile, you won't have heard a thing I said. And you'll miss out on the relationship that speaking together is supposed to bring because you're so into the mechanics of it. God simply invites us to call upon him, and he in turn speaks back to us as part of a fellowship, a relationship, a communion with him. That's what it's about. If I've never spoken to you before and I call you on the phone, I would have to say, hi, this is Pastor Dale Dickinson from over at Calvary Chapel, El Cajon, and all, and you'd go, okay, what's up? But let's say we began to get to know each other, and I might call you again and go, hey, it's Pastor Dale. Okay. Pretty soon I could say, well, hi, it's Dale. Off we go, we start talking, you know me. Pretty soon, if we knew each other well enough, I could just call you up and start talking, like you probably can with your mate or good friends, and you right away, oh, that's Dale. Now, how'd that come about? Because we spent time together. We began to commune together. Too many people wait until a crisis. They wait until, you know, it might have been months or something, and all of a sudden something happened, and it's like, God, where are you? And they cry out, and they haven't been nurturing the relationship, and so there's not a familiarity, if you will. Don't wait till crisis and circumstances make you, I mean, thank God you can call out in a trial, don't get me wrong, but begin now, because all this hearing and talking to him and all, it's supposed to be part of an ongoing fellowship with him. That's why he sent his son to die. That's what he invites you to do every day. Call to me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. But let's let it be an ongoing thing. Daily fellowship with him. God is desiring us to seek relationship with him more than answer a problem we have at the moment. Oh, he gives answers and encouragement or hope or strength. But it's not. God doesn't want to be a genie in a bottle that we keep on the shelf. And then when every time a trial comes, we get him out and kind of rub the bottle through prayer and out pops this answer. Thank you. We put it back. See you next month. That's not what he's talking about. Oh, he'll answer the problem, but he wants us to seek relationship with him. Ongoing fellowship. Just abiding in him is the goal. So I would say this. If you have trouble hearing God, ask yourself this. Why do you want him to speak to you? Be honest with yourself when you're having trouble and going through those times. Just ask yourself, why do I want God to speak to me? And be open to the answer. If you answer things like, well, because really I just kind of want him to answer this trial, this certain problem. That's really what I haven't spoken to him all month. I don't spend time with him, but I'm just going through a rough time now. Or I want a raise, and I want that car or something. Then don't be surprised if it's a rough going in your relationship with him, that you have trouble hearing. If it's about you and all, actually, why do I want to hear from God? Is it to get my will done or his? See, it's not put a quarter in and get some of God out. It's not a McDonald's Christianity where you drive through the drive-through window, put your order into God, pull up there and get your quarter pounder of God's answer, and off you go. Thank God. See you next week. See you when I get hungry again. Our goal should be to glorify God. Our goal should be to know Him and His plans and purposes in our lives. God speaks that we might know His love, that we might walk in His ways and discover the blessings of that and all, that He might work in us and through us. What He's got a bigger plan, bigger purposes. Eternity is unfolding. He speaks to us that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. Why do you want to hear from God? Let Him show you. And then that answer might tell you why maybe there's been a struggle in it. He is to be our focus. This hearing from God is to be part of a relationship. With Him as Lord, not us as Lord. With Him as Lord. Look at our text. Call to me, and I will answer you. You see how personal? Call to me. Don't call to religion. Don't call to ritual or routine, formalities, good works, church attendance, Him and you. He says, call to me and I will answer you. Where are you going? And what do you go like when you go to God? Where do you go with those things? See, the awesome thing is God is speaking. My prayer is He'll find us listening with our hearts and with our lives. Let's stand. As a worship team comes up, perhaps you heard something today that motivates you to get prayer. First of all, you need to know the Lord. You need to receive Christ as Savior to get this connection going. If you've never done that, come find a prayer partner. But maybe you know Him, but you would be willing to admit something has plugged up the pipeline. Don't run from that. He's confronting it that you might get the cork pulled out. Come get prayer for that. Maybe it's just a time where you just want to come get prayer about joining in with the prayer partner and seeking something for your life. Get prayer about that. Or maybe it's just something you're going through or something you're facing. Whatever it is, get prayer. Don't leave here wishing you'd gotten prayer, but come get it. Meanwhile, will each day find us tuned in, listening, open, seeking relationship and fellowship with Him. If we'll come hungry for that, He'll meet us there. Call to me, He says, and I'll answer. Lord, that is an awesome, awesome privilege. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you have set this whole thing in place that we might know you, might commune with you, might experience your work in our lives, might experience you making us, molding us, shaping us in the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, the important thing is you be glorified. Your will be done. Help us now, Lord, to go out as people just tuned in to you, to your Spirit. May you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.